Good evening, folks. Thank you for waiting while Metro delayed my arrival. This is more exciting than The Bachelor. People tune into this than they do The Bachelor tonight, so this is exciting, Craig.
Let's hope so.
Craig's going to be on The Bachelor next week, in fact. I don't know if people know that.
My wife just found out.
It's a little problem.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to tonight's special Committee of the Whole meeting. We have a committee meeting first, and then we're going to jump into the council meeting. The committee meeting is brief. So I would like to begin by asking that our recording secretary, City Administrator McKittrick, please recognize that all the aldermen, save for Vogelsberg and Marks, are present this evening. Our items of business include item 2A, presentation of the Dancing with the Geneva Stars event on February 5, 2011. Carolyn Hill is with us tonight as she dances up to the podium.
Thank you, Mayor.
Just for the interest of full disclosure, are you related to anyone on the council?
I think so.
Okay.
The last I checked.
Ooh, that's incestuous. I don't think you are related.
Not related.
Thank you. And Carolyn? City Council and staff, thank you for giving me the opportunity to present to you information regarding the Cultural Art Commission's two important events occurring this month. I can get this mouse to move. Here we go. Starting January 13th through January 22nd is our snow sculpting event held in the parking lot in front of Dick's Sporting Goods located in the Geneva Commons. This year will be the fourth year for the snow sculpting event. We have not experienced the best of weather, but the commission has forged ahead hopeful for the best conditions possible for sculpting snow. The snow will be made on the 13th and 14th, weather permitting, and the public is invited to participate in packing the molds on the 15th, and if needed, the 16th. Sculpting the snow begins on January 19th and continues through Saturday, January 22nd, when the completed sculptures can be viewed. This can be a drive-by event, but also take time to stop and look closely at the snow sculptures and vote for your favorite.
Throw snowballs.
Oops, there we go. Okay, here we are. The popular Dancing with Geneva Stars benefit will be held February 5th at Eagle Brook Country Club. This will be the third year for the benefit. The Cultural Arts Commission had no idea when we adopted this fundraising project how popular Dancing with Geneva Stars would become. It has been said that this event is one of the great fundraisers ever staged in this area. Today is the kickoff for the ticket reservations and voting. 1,800 invitations were mailed last Tuesday with the assistance of our partner, the Geneva Academic Foundation. We utilized their database and the Cultural Art Commission database. You may also pick up an invitation at City Hall, the History Center, any of Geneva schools, the Sunset and Persinger Rec Center, and Gibby's Wine Den. Or you can log on to our website, which is www.genevaarts.org. The invitation includes a ticket reservation card, a vote card, and a return envelope. Last year, this event raised $18,263. A percentage was shared with our partner, the Geneva Academic Foundation. With such a profitable benefit, the Cultural Arts Commission was able to provide many events for the general public, such as our snow sculpting, the summer concert series at River Park, Shakespeare in Island Park, and the Geneva Film Festival. We also support the emerging artists at the Geneva Chamber Art Fair, the Geneva Underground Playhouse, the First Friday's Gallery Walk, and the Orion Ensemble Chamber Group. Before I introduce you to our six teams who are competing this year for your votes, I would like to inform our guests, particularly those who have attended in the past, of the changes we have made to our venue. Eagle Brook Country Club has been very supportive and helpful in making the changes to accommodate the evening's guests. First, we have altered the seating in the ballroom so everyone attending will be seated at a table. To do this, we have gone to rectangular tables and moved the appetizer buffet out of the ballroom to two separate locations. The committee thanks Joe Stanton for designing the new seating arrangement, which will accommodate more people seated. We will have a new sound system, so hopefully you'll be able to better hear our MC, Mayor Burns. The coat room has been relocated, and we will have available valet parking for $5 per car for those desiring that service. For all that, we have kept the price the same. For open seating, a single ticket reservation remains at $35, which includes hors d'oeuvres, dessert, and cash bar. Of course, bring your checkbooks so you can vote for your favorite team or teams. Every dollar counts as one vote. In 2009 and 2010, the event sold out quickly, so make your reservations early. Voting online for your teams will continue until February 4th. The Dancing with Geneva Stars Committee promises an evening of fun-filled entertainment with 12 local celebrities competing for votes. Additional entertainment by professional dancers will make up the evening's program, emceed by Mayor Burns. The winner is announced at the event, followed by an evening of open dancing. The 2010 Dancing with Geneva Stars event held last February can be viewed in its entirety on Channel 10 for the month of January. And now, let's meet our teams. These six teams have been rehearsing their routines for the last 2 months and will continue rehearsing until the show on February 5th. Our team sponsors have provided 8 lessons for each team, with professional dance instructors affiliated with the State Street Dance Studio. Our first team, Ann and Matt Cicerone, will be dancing the salsa. Ann is president of the Geneva Academic Foundation and project manager for advanced telecommunications. Matt is an account manager for Allegiant Systems. Dancing the waltz, Jane and Peter Cladis. Jane is a member of the Geneva Park District Foundation Board and is a financial analyst. Peter is a physician with Fox Valley Family Physicians. Don and Jeannie Cummings will be dancing the tango. Jeannie is an American Airlines flight attendant. Don is owner of Blue Haven Capital and is a member of the Geneva Library Board. And this next couple, you're going to recognize, those of you in the room.
Yeah.
Ralph and Nancy Dentino. And they will be doing the swing. Nancy is a daycare provider and has been active in the Geneva Academic Foundation and St. Peter's Barn Sale. Ralph is partner of a manufacturing rep agency and is your 5th Ward Alderman for the City of Geneva. A new dance this year introduced into our program that's not been previously included is the Pasé Doble, and Therese and Steve Davison will be dancing the Pasé Doble. Teresa and Steve are owners of 3 7-Eleven stores in the area. They are active in the Geneva Sports Boosters, and Steve is the baseball coach. And our last couple, Amanda and Adam Law, will be dancing the cha-cha. Adam is principal of Heartland Elementary School in Geneva, and Amanda is a nurse practitioner. The Cultural Arts Commission and the Dancing with Geneva Stars Committee thank these teams for their enthusiasm, their dedication to perfecting their performance, and taking time from their busy schedules. And you can support them with your votes. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from Mrs. Hill? Any ridicule of Alderman Dantino? You got to be nervous, aren't you, Ralph?
Very.
Can Ralph give us a little demonstration?
Well, this is actually Children's Hour still on TV, so it's probably best to...
Thank you.
It's very exciting. You guys always sell out on this event right away. So the room will hold more than the traditional 270 then, won't it?
Hopefully about 400.
400? Wow. It's amazing.
Thanks to Joe.
Yeah, Joe Stanton. Where's Joe Stanton anyways? There he is back there. Always in that last seat. Unbelievable. It's exciting. Looking forward to it.
Vote early and often.
Indeed.
For whom?
For me.
What if I just give 50 cents to Mrs. Dantino instead of voting for the...
It's not the first time I heard that.
I'm sure it isn't. Thank you, Carolyn. Item number 2B, ladies and gentlemen, is the Lincoln Highway mural recognition. We have the astute Carla Kulfus, our historic planner with the City of Geneva.
Ooh, shock. Thank you, Mayor and City Council. I'd like to first ask the worshipful master of the Geneva Masonic Lodge to come forward, Mr. Bobby Stoops. We have several members of the Geneva Masonic Lodge here tonight, and I've asked him to come forward to just introduce everyone.
Thank you. Past Master Rick Mickelson, John Poy, Richard Olson, Hal Erickson, and Mark Jacobs, my senior warden, Art Kozak, Marco Vargas, Secretary Dan Whiston, and Brother Brian Mara. And I think that's it. Oh, Treasurer, I'm sorry, George, the man with the checkbook, George Metzger. Thank you.
Welcome, gentlemen.
So the recognition tonight is to recognize the installation of the mural, but also to recognize the cooperation and the assistance by the Masons in working with us, the city, and the Illinois Lincoln Highway Coalition to install the mural on their building. So what I'd like to do tonight is just talk a little bit about the Lincoln Highway and its history through Geneva, and then talk about how the mural came to be. Up in the top, we have the map of the Lincoln Highway, and I don't know how much you know about the Lincoln Highway, but it originally it still extends from Times Square in New York to San Francisco in California. And you can see in the map that route is outlined in red, but it also had many offshoots of it, or lateral routes as well. So in the western terminus has this lovely marker there, but in the eastern terminus in Times Square, there's actually not a formal marker. But I did find a picture of a guy standing there with the eastern terminus flag. So that's kind of fun. So let me move on here. The Lincoln Highway Association was conceived in 1912, and the Lincoln Highway was formally dedicated in 1913. The Lincoln Highway was the nation's first memorial to President Abraham Lincoln, and it preceded the Lincoln Memorial, which was built in 1922 in Washington, D.C. The Lincoln Highway Association was formed in 1913 with Carl Fisher of the Presto-Light Headlight Company and Henry Joy of the Packard Motor Company leading the way. Believing that the popularity of automobiles would be boosted by improving the roads, Carl Fisher called for a coast-to-coast rock highway in 1912. And he estimated that by 1915, if we were to build the road, it would cost about $10 million. Within a month of the meeting in 1912, he had $1 million from his supporters, and they got started on building the road. The initial group did not include Henry Ford, but he joined later. Henry Ford, by the way, believed that the roads should be built by the government themselves. Later joiners to the Lincoln Highway Association included Harvey Firestone, Theodore Roosevelt, and Thomas Edison. Also of note, in 1919, a convoy of Army vehicles traveled the highway, and that convoy included a young Dwight D. Eisenhower, who later in 1956 passed the Federal Aid Highway Act, authorizing $25 billion of for construction of 41,000 miles of interstate highway. So clearly he was likely influenced by his trip on the Lincoln Highway. The Lincoln Highway, with the interest of each of the board members in promoting the automobile interest, the automobile industry, the Lincoln Highway was the first improved cross-country road. It wasn't the first road, but it was the first improved road, meaning that it was had paving on it. The first seedling mile is actually here in Illinois, just west of Malta, and that was installed in 1914. The Highway Association set up specifications for the road early on, which included 110-foot right-of-way, 50-foot sections of concrete bed with a 10-inch thickness, no grade crossings, and no signage was to be allowed. And it also required a pedestrian footpath. So here we have, you know, evidence of why a paved road system might actually be useful, getting stuck in the mud. One of the first colorized postcard views of the Lincoln Highway in Bedford, Pennsylvania. That's that middle view. And then in some cases, the pavers that were used were actually brick. This is a photograph of the Lincoln Highway in Ohio where brick was used. Some of the interesting things along the highway, as people began to travel the highway, it began to create all sorts of business opportunities like tourist hotels. This is a photograph from the 1920s. You know, this town in Iowa, Tama, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, Iowa. Someone said it. Tama? Okay. Tama. Thank you. They were so thrilled with having the Lincoln Highway come through their town. They had the bridge railings spell out Lincoln Highway. And, you know, then it started also this interest in roadside attractions like the Coffee Pot, among others. This was built in 1927. But here in Geneva, what we had here were service stations, hotels, and diners. The Armbrust service station, which is that top left photograph, is actually the used to be right across the street here. And then, of course, the Pure Oil station, which is still here, now called the Pure Gardner. Hotel Geneva, no longer functioning as a hotel, but was definitely an attraction for travelers along the route. And then the Lincoln Cafe, which was located in the building where the Provincial House is, or Artemisia now is today, but it was called the Lincoln Cafe. But most importantly, I think what's interesting to me as a preservationist is that it really started a building boom along the highway. Specifically here in Geneva, three major buildings were built in the early 1920s by Henry Bonfargo, these two-story brick building blocks, the 200 block of West State Street and then the 300 block of West State Street. So there was this increase of travelers, so this need for increasing office and business and retail sizes. There's also been a lot of talk about the route changing here in Geneva. The Lincoln Highway route actually did change in many locations throughout its development in many different locations. But here in Geneva, it was originally up Batavia Avenue, then up First Street, and then west on to State Street. But in 1919, that route was changed to go up 3rd Street and then west on to State Street. And the reason why that was is that black circle in the bottom right map is there was a complex of train and automobile traffic there. So they found it to be quite dangerous with the trains going into the yard. And so they moved the route. Conflict? Thank you. Let's see here. The Lincoln Highway Coalition here in Illinois completed an application in 2000, which led the way for the Lincoln Highway to become a designated national byway. As part of their mission to market the byway, they developed a plan to install 16 interpretive gazebos and 43 interpretive murals throughout the 179 section of the highway in Illinois. The latest part of that program, which we benefited from, is the $10,000 grant for the interpretive mural. And the city was responsible for the mural frame construction and the installation. And we did go through a RFP bid process for that, and Dreesen Construction won the bid for that project, and the frame was installed in October. Some of the completed murals, the murals are all designed and painted by Jay Allen of Shawcraft Sign out of McChesney Park, and they all have a very stylized, painterly kind of style, almost as if you're like looking at the scenes from the WPA murals back from the 1930s. And they almost all focus on a larger focal points or something that extends beyond the actual mural framework. And each has its own theme throughout the towns. And in Aurora, the image on the top left is the City of Lights. It was the first town to have its own street lighting. In Malta, they had the first seedling mile, so theirs focuses on the seedling mile there. In Dixon, they have the arch that extends across the Lincoln Highway, and also they have photographs showing the convoy. In Genoa, they feature the horses and the paving sled that the gentleman is riding on. In Oregon, they have a statue of Black Hawk, the Black Hawk Indian, which was a tourist feature for them. So that extends out of the frame, and the car extends out of the frame. Emily Post, this is before Emily Post got to be well-known, but she traveled the highway and wrote about her adventure along the highway and got stuck in mud in Rochelle. So she made the Rochelle mural. St. Charles, even though St. Charles was not directly on the route, they have a mural in St. Charles. The little guy in the left corner, probably a good predecessor to our sandwich board signs of today, he was placed along the highway here in Geneva in a way to encourage people to go up to this to the Hotel Baker up in St. Charles. And then my favorite one, other than ours, of course, is the Van Buren sisters. And this mural is in University Park, and it features Adeline and Augusta Van Buren, two sisters who were the first to cross the United States on a motorcycle, and they caused quite a scandal dressed in men's clothing. They were actually arrested in the Chicago area.
Which city actually apprehended them? Was that Batavia?
I don't know. It just says Chicago area.
Beaten, wasn't it? Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I'll be going to hell for that statement.
The mural committee consisted of Dave Oberg, Ron Rawson from the History Center, Ellen DeVita, myself from the city. And we first looked at a couple different locations, the Geneva Tire location on West State Street, the location of the Geneva Masonic Lodge, and then we also looked at Milrace Inn as a possibility. And really the ideal location was the Geneva Masonic Lodge. Some of the specifications from the Illinois Lincoln Highway Coalition were that the mural face east. If it faced west, it would have a lot more sun exposure. And so this is a great wall for the mural. And so we worked on a public art agreement. John Poy at the Geneva Masonic Lodge was my contact for most of the project. And he and I and Ellen, we worked on the license agreement. And we will also be installing a plaque adjacent to the mural that talks about what the agreement terms are so that there is no loss of institutional knowledge of the agreement. Because the license agreement is for the mural to stay up for 15 years. Some of the basics for the mural design came from the historic photographs from the History Center. This one featuring Reuben Anderson, the city's police chief from 1926 to 1951, on the 1924 Henderson motorcycle that the city bought specifically for him to be able to patrol the streets of Geneva. And then the historic view of State Street. And here you can see this is the Lincoln Highway in Geneva, paved with brick. But also in the center of that photograph is our first stop-and-go light here in Geneva. And at one point, there's other historic photographs that show the Lincoln Highway L on that stop-and-go light. So in the bottom right, the image shows some of the basic concepts that we put together early on. You might remember this image from when I was here back in May. So on December 16th, the mural was installed. It came in five panels. And then what I thought was really interesting is that each panel had its own cardboard with the painted screws on it. So the designer knew exactly which screws were going where and had pre-painted them exactly where they were going to go. And then Ellen's also in the shot. She's the figure all in black, giving them a hand. At the bottom right, this is the artist in the white jacket, Jay Allen. He's giving the final touches to the mural. And then the artist again, Jay Allen on the right, and then his assistant, Joe. The mural is finally installed. So thanks again for the assistance with the Geneva Masonic Lodge for the installation of the mural. We're very pleased to have it up after the hard work that we've been able to accomplish in the past couple years. So thank you again.
It's beautiful. Worshipful Master Stoops, thank you very, very much. Do you want to add anything with respect to loaning us this?
Well, I was brought to my attention that some of the guys that were instrumental in building the Lincoln Highway happened to be Masons.
No kidding. So I'm not surprised.
History, not only in Geneva, but across the United States.
Of absolutely.
Masonics being the forefront of technology moving forward.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
The other fun point I just want to point out, and I'll just pull it up here. The Masons requested that if it be possible to put in the mural the Masonic symbol. And I don't know if anyone else has noticed it, but I will point it out to you all.
Oh, hold on. We got to find this thing. Let's see.
Yeah. I'm trying to zoom in on it here. Why can't I move? Oh, here we go. So if you see, it's right here. So you have to look closely the next time you go and see it. But the artists put it in a very interesting location. So
now we're not going to have Nicolas Cage here filming a movie soon, are we?
I don't know. Thank you again.
Thank you, Carla. We have questions or comments for either Ms. Kolfus and or the, any member of the Masons?
Carla, one quick question. And I think I wrote somebody on this. But we had a request, and we went through this great exercise of contacting all the council members as it pertains to the size of the motorcycle, and our request was not adhered to. What happened there?
Your request was overruled by me. Actually, there was a vote taken by the council with respect to the size and,
design?
Design and impact of Chief Anderson on his motorcycle. But in reviewing all the other murals throughout the 179 miles of highway in Illinois, ours was the only one that actually was different. So it was determined by a small group of people, myself included, that it's best that we reflect the other murals along the Lincoln Highway. And I asked Carla to go ahead and make that change and reflect those additional murals, and it was so done. So I accept responsibility, criticism, 40 lashes, whatever I need.
The artist himself was pretty outspoken about having that be a prominent element in the design. And if you look at it in the context of the other murals, that you can really see that that's very much his style, and it really kind of works well in the photo in the mural in the end.
I'd like to ask Mr. Piper to talk about the motorcycle itself, because Bob, you're a cycle enthusiast. And he actually owned one of those motorcycles, Mr. Piper.
I wish I had one of those worth a fortune. From what I looked into, that was the historical significance. And I wish Mr. Oberg, I don't think Dave's here, but that would have been absolutely the fastest thing in the Fox Valley at the time. Nobody was going to outrun him, that's for sure. It was huge for him to have that.
Where was it manufactured?
Those were made. I think he might have been in Chicago at the time. I know that he went down there to get it. I wasn't sure if he bought that out of his own pocket or if we bought that. But
according to the news article that Ron Wasson got, the city bought it.
It was about $300 and some odd at the time.
We're actually still paying
a fortune. Yeah, we're probably still
two more payments.
But they were way ahead of their time.
It was called the finest machine of its time.
Yeah, it was very, very fast, and nobody would have been able to outrun them. I believe it was during Prohibition, and that's why they wanted it. I mean, nobody was going to be able to speed through here. Mm-hmm. And he was a real character from what I read. I mean, he thought you were drunk. He'd jump right on your running boards and pull you over, and he was a strange bird. So he was now going to have the fastest vehicle in the Fox Valley, and he got it. So
yeah, Alan just piped in that he jumped. There's a story that we heard about him jumping into another car to apprehend someone.
He was born and raised here in town. So
yeah. And one of the other interesting points was when the Lincoln Highway got started, the mandatory speed was 10 miles an hour. It was enforced at 10 miles an hour.
Maximum.
In Geneva, I should say, yeah.
Mandatory or maximum?
Yeah, mandatory or speed limit. Sorry.
So it's like the Amish highway.
Yeah.
Again, I apologize to all the Amish people.
They don't have TVs. You're good.
Any other comments for Ms. Kolfus? Yes, Alderman Brown.
Would it be appropriate for the council to make a motion to thank the Masonic Lodge for their cooperation and behalf of the City Council and the citizens of Geneva?
Absolutely, it would be.
I so moved.
Second.
All in favor of so acknowledging the worshipful Master Stoops and his delegation, and all those who went before and who come after, we sincerely acknowledge the good cooperation of our friends of the Masonic Lodge. So thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen. Cool stuff. Item 2C. Speaking of chiefs, Chief Anderson, consider draft ordinance amending Title 4, Chapter 2, adding one Class B4 liquor license to the City Geneva Code.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dantino, seconded by Hill. The applicant is with us this evening. Where does she go? Oh, there we are. Forgive me. I'm sorry. How are you? Welcome. Do you want to come say hello to us? I know you're already open for business, so life is good. But come on up to the podium. We want to meet you and... Oh, and Ellen's going to do the fine introduction?
I'm going to make it easier.
Excellent. Don't be nervous. My God, Piper's, he's already been fed.
Denise has been open in the second floor of the Berry House for 3 weeks now.
Four. Yeah.
She's originally from the Czech Republic, and her restaurant is very authentic, offering crepes and fondue. And
Okay, I was born in the Czech Republic. I don't remember anything, though. And my parents are Czech, but we lived in Switzerland and in France. So definitely my crepe place and my fondue place is authentic. And, you guys make me nervous.
When are you open?
We are open, actually. Now I try to be open from 11 till in the evening with dinner and with lunch and on Saturdays and Sundays for breakfast.
Now, what makes your crepes better than everyone else's?
Believe me, you have to come and
try. Besides the liquor license.
definitely the flambéed ones. I don't need the liquor license for that one. But definitely the banana mandarin one are excellent. I mean, I'm getting a lot of positive review on that one. And then the crepes are thinner. Then you guys know, because everywhere you go, I mean, you get the thick ones, like you know them from IHOP, or I'm compared a little bit with the melting pot, with the, what's called with the magic pen, which was around, and yeah, well, that one is out of view, and now I came in, so I hope I can expand one day, but definitely, they are really good. You have to come and try them.
Oh, we will, believe me.
I have not a website. I have a Facebook. You can go on Denise's Crepes and Fondues and my blog. You can follow, actually, my dreams and my whole renovation of that Berry House place there. It's denisascrepes.blogspot.com. So that's pretty much I don't have a web page yet. So
right now, if you want our department website, GenevaDowntown.org, the restaurant is in the featured banners. That'd be the easiest way to find it right now.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
I'm not the computer freak, so.
Plus, on that banner, Denise, it has an 80% coupon off, so it's very generous.
Groupon.
Yeah. Well, I joined actually the Chamber of Commerce, so
we've got a ribbon cutting coming up.
Right. Yes, we do on the 19th of January.
So will Sam.
Better believe it.
So, yeah, cheese fondues, definitely. They are going to be over wintertime, and raclettes. I don't know if you guys are familiar with raclette.
What is that?
Raclette, it's actually, everybody gets like a dish in front of them. And you have, like, little stoves with little pans, and I'm cutting up the cheeses, and you guys put them on the top of the pans. You put them inside the little griddles. And on the top, you can grill your veggies and your fruits. And I come with little potatoes, the golden potatoes, and when it's melted, you put it over your potatoes and vegetables. It's on the long run. Like, you have to take your time. I mean, if you want to enjoy it and the scenery inside, you see out the windows of the chalet, and you see, like, Zermatt and the Matterhorn.
Oh, boy.
So, like, you're on vacation, so.
That's actually the landfill, just so you know.
No, it's not, believe me.
It's the standard skiing.
Yeah, exactly.
In Switzerland.
Yeah, so. I'm gonna change the scenery.
Skiing in Switzerland when you eat it.
It's cool. It's nice. Yeah. So definitely, I'm changing the scenery every time with the season. It's gonna be another picture inside the frame. It's like you're looking out the window. So that one.
Fantastic. So. Very exciting.
And the liquor license, what comes in there, it's you should have actually wine with the fondues and
sure,
with the
okay.
cheeses. And the same with the crepes. I mean, I have galettes. Galettes are the buckwheat ones. It's a savory version. And that one is done with a beer batter and with the buckwheat. It's not gluten-free. I will come with the gluten-free ones. So that will come with time.
Alderman Hill.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I've had the pleasure, my wife and I have had the pleasure of eating at this fine restaurant. And before that, I observed when Denisa was cleaning the walls from whatever was there before and remodeling the scenery in this restaurant. And she's got great food. She works hard. Many members of her family are working with you, right?
Yeah, my mother.
Your mother?
She actually is a financial help.
Yeah.
My mom. She doesn't talk really English, but she talks German.
Oh, guten Nacht.
Guten Nacht. And then...
It's a good evening in German.
Yeah, it is. It is good. It's actually good night. Go to bed. If you want to get rid of me, I can go.
Thanks for pointing that out. We're gonna table this motion until we...
So, now, I have to mention, though, my daughter and my kids, because they are a big help. I have a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, and an 11-year-old, and they all help.
They are all
involved and working with me, so... I have the boy, the
I
older
child labor laws in check.
Actually, I checked into it.
I'm just kidding.
No pun intended.
So, not only because of you, but because of my kids.
You're not that bad of a guy, despite what the Chronicle writes.
So definitely my daughter is like the, she's at the counter and she's seating the people like a hostess. Then I have the 14-year-old, he's cutting up the vegetables. So, and then the 16-year-old, he's a waiter. So, pretty much a family organization. It's family friendly and it is romantic too. So, that's it.
Where did you learn how to do this?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm going to be in the newspaper. Actually, they're going to put down a little review about my place. And the history is actually inside a little bit. When I was 17, I was actually sent as an au pair into Lausanne, the French part of Switzerland. And I worked actually in that family. They had a restaurant, and I fell in love with the restaurant. But they took me out to a crêperie. And when I saw that crêperie, back of my head, something said, oh, one time I want to own one. So, and then I pictured, you know, how it should look like. And since 10 years, I actually dream about it, so... That's my dream.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Can I go sit down now?
You bet.
Apparently, you can do whatever you want. It's so, you know, it's
Gute Nacht.
Gute Nacht, yeah, thank you for that.
Good morning.
And I don't want to read this on patch either, for God's sake, Nagel. So, Nagel, I'm talking to you. We have a motion and we have a second on item 2C. All in favor of said motion, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Unless there's new business, which there shouldn't be, this special committee of the whole meeting is adjourned with a motion.
Move.
Motion by Brown, yep. Seconded by Piper. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Great. Am I inappropriate to ask the worshipful master to lead us in the pledge for the council meeting?
Special for you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's regularly scheduled city council meeting is called to order. Madam Recording Secretary, please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Here.
Ralph Dantino.
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Here.
Sam Hill.
Here.
Craig Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks. Ray Pollock.
Here.
Robert Piper.
Here.
Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Vogelsberg. Mayor Burns.
Present. We begin the City Council meeting like we always do with the Pledge of Allegiance. We have the worshipful Master Stoops and his delegation from the Geneva Masonic Lodge with us tonight to lead us in the pledge. Thank you, gentlemen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Thank you. Folks, before we begin the business of tonight's City Council meeting, I want to bring to everyone's attention, and it was brought to my attention earlier as a very courteous and very heartfelt reminder to myself and Mrs. McKittrick. You know, last night the Packers beat the Bears, as we all know. And there is no bigger fan of the Green Bay Packers than today's birthday boy, the late, great Chuck Lencioni. Mm-hmm. Today would have been Chuck Lencioni's birthday. So we want his family to know that we wish him a very happy birthday. We miss him very, very much. We loved him very, very much. And we want to thank Joe Stanton for that very nice reminder as well. So thank you. Mm-hmm. So happy birthday, Chucky.
He's still probably cheering.
Oh, I'm sure he's cooking and everything else up there, for God's sake.
Let's
process it down. Item 3A is to consider the appointment of Tom Dahl to the Police Pension Board and Fire Pension Board. Mr. Dahl is here tonight. He's on the left side of the room, looking rather nervous.
Does it require a motion, Mr.
It does require a motion.
So moved.
Motion by Pollack, Piper, Hill. Who the hell did it?
Aye.
You guys.
Okay. And a roll call. Tom, do you want to say anything? You're nervous? You're concerned about the pension imbalance in Springfield and all the heck's going on? Yeah?
Fix it, Tom. We're going to beat the crap out of you.
That was on the record, by the way.
Performance.
Roll call is in order. Madam Recording Secretary, please take the roll.
Don Vogelsberg. Rod Singer.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ray Pollock.
Aye.
Richard Marks. Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Flanagan.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Congratulations, Mr. Dahl. Good luck. Have fun. Item 4, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments this evening from any member of the City Council? Item 5 is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk can be considered as routine and can be enacted by one motion.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Maladra to approve the consent agenda. Madam Recording Secretary, please take the roll.
Ray Pollock?
Aye.
Bob Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Item 5 passes 7 affirmative votes. We jump down to municipal bills for payment, item 10.
Eight affirmative votes,
excuse me. We still jump down to item 10, municipal bills for payment. Madam Recording Secretary, please read the bills to be paid.
Bills to be paid this evening, Mr. Mayor, equal $1,840,005.56.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read and as displayed on the city website.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Brown to pay the bills as read and displayed on the city's website, seconded by Alderman Dantino. This does include the final two payments for Ruben Anderson's motorcycle, just for clarification. Any questions or comments? Piper, it looked like you actually care.
I do. Deeply.
Madam Recording Secretary, please take the roll.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ray Pollock.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Motion passes with 8 Affirmative votes. Item 11A, consider ordinance number 2010-65, amending Title IV, Chapter 2, to allow one Class B4 liquor license to the city code.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by D'Antino, seconded by Flanagan. Questions or comments? Denise has left the building. Apparently it's time to make the crepes. So I did say guten Nacht, didn't I? I feel bad about that.
Yes.
We heard it.
As Madam Recording Secretary, please take the roll.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ray Paula.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
According to my agenda, ladies and gentlemen, we are at item 13, new business. We always defer to those who have joined us from the hinterlands. Anyone in the audience tonight with any new business for the benefit of the council? From the dais, any new business? Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just want to remind everybody that this coming Saturday is our last fundraiser in conjunction with the California Pizza Kitchen at the Commons. You can go online, plantgeneva.org, and pick up a flyer. It's all day this Saturday where we get 20% of any.
And who is we?
We. Oh, I'm sorry, Geneva Beautification. I always speak for them, so I fail to mention them. Thank you very much.
A wonderful cause.
So if come out, you know, I'm sure you're getting, after the holidays, maybe after this week, you'll want to get out again and enjoy some other fare. So California Pizza Kitchen this Saturday, we get 20%. We, the Geneva Beautification, gets 20% of your bill. So thank you.
Anyone else on the dais? New business? Any announcements? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn this council meeting. Motion by Piper.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Singer. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Great. Thank you, everyone.